Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Get your Bibles and go with me. Why don't we start in 1 Peter? I might quote another verse before that, but that's okay. We'll have it for you. And you can always turn there in your Bible if you like, or check it out on the overheads. But tonight I want to talk to you about a subject. Before I do, you guys want to hear a joke? Okay, good. I got the right crowd tonight. Now listen, I didn't write this joke, okay? So no one judge me or think that I'm a woman hater or anything like that when I read this, okay, or that I'm a pig-headed man. But I thought it was appropriate, especially with Father's Day coming up, just, you know, give us some insight into the psyche of some men that are out there that we're all going to judge and look down upon, okay? So all right, anyways, don't send me any emails, Pastor Dan, how could you tell that joke? Okay, it's a joke, all right? By the way, anyone live streaming from the back mountains of Tennessee, this is not a slam against you, okay? A man from the back mountains of Tennessee found himself one day in a large city. For the first time standing outside of an elevator, he watched as an old woman hobbled on and the doors closed. A few minutes later, the doors opened and a young, attractive woman marched smartly off. The father hollered at his youngest son, "Billy, go get your mother." That's the joke, in case you missed it. Which leads me to the title of tonight's message, When Things Don't Change. That was my wife on the front row, ladies and gentlemen, leaning her head back and saying, "Oh my goodness, when things don't change." How many of you know in life, sometimes things just don't change? You could be doing everything right. You could be praying. You could be in the Word, you could be confessing the Scriptures, you could be tithing, you could be volunteering, you could be serving, you could be loving, you could be caring, you could be generous, you could have the right outlook, the right attitude, you could do everything right, and yet things still don't change. Anybody other than Pastor Dan know what I'm talking about tonight? Okay, you've been there too. It seems like to me, and my wife, she's shaking her head in approval on this statement at least, not the joke, but the other stuff. But it seems like there's been a series of these things in our life that God has taken us through these processes over and over and over again. Buy a house, 2008 hits. All of a sudden, we're underwater. I have a conviction in my heart. And you know what? Don't just dump it. You made a commitment, and you still are making the money to afford the house, so you might as well continue to pay. So I continue to pay, even though it's unjust, it's not the value of the property. I said, you know what, I'm going to believe God, bless God, I'm confessing the word that God's going to do something, I'm confessing, I'm believing, I'm praying, I'm searching the Scriptures, I'm working with the bank isn't working with me. Okay, some of you guys have been there. 2 years on my face before God, and on the phone with the company, 2 years, okay, finally something breaks through. Gosh, things didn't change, 2 years. Well, we had thought, you know, we'd be in this house for a little bit of time, you know, equity, this and that. We had our little plan, you know, we'll be in and out, this and that. We'll just stay in there a little bit, over 2 years, capital gains, this and that. 9 years later, we're finally, you know, being moved out of the place. Stuff's going on. We have a rental property. That's kind of our side business, one of our side businesses, you know. And so we have this rental property, and it seemed like we had renter after renter, year after year, situation after situation that we were pouring, and I'm not exaggerating right now, thousands, if not tens of thousands, if I added it all up, tens of thousands of dollars into this rental property. I'm believing God. I'm confessing. I'm tithing. Lord, you said you'd rebuke the devourer on my behalf. What is going on in this rental property? It is devouring like Pac-Man on those little pellets. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Things weren't changing. What do you do when things don't change? Tonight, I want to take a look at them. Now, this message tonight, I have to kind of set you up for this. This message assumes that you're doing everything right. Okay? Now, the reason why I have to say that is because if you are in sin, you're not doing everything right. And if you want something to change, stop it. Repent. Turn from that sin. Turn to the Lord. Confess. Ask for forgiveness and watch your life change, okay? That's an easy one. This assumes that you're doing the will of God, the way of God. You know, if you're saying I'm tithing, but you're just giving, Come on, somebody. You got to do what God calls you to do, not what you think that God's calling you to do your way. You got to do God's will, God's way, in order to get God's results. So I'm assuming in this message that you're doing everything right, okay? Now, if you say, well, how do I know? Search your heart, pray, and search the scriptures, and God will make that evidently clear to you. Okay, I love how the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, if you've got any questions about it, just pray and ask God. He'll make it clear to you too. He'll let you know. God will show you if there is an error in your life. But if he doesn't show you, and you look in the Word and you say, okay, you know, I'm just going to continue to do that, that's what this message assumes. See, this is for after you've done everything you know to do and things still don't change. Remember I said I was going to quote a verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. I'll put it up on the overheads for you. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all. See, this is one of those messages, having done all. Because what does he say after having done all? To stand, right? Very next verse says, stand therefore. In other words, you've got to put all of your part in and then stand. Until you've done all, you're not going to stand. Until you got the whole armor on and you've done everything that you know to do and you've got your feet planted firmly, you're not going to be able to stand. So I'm assuming that we've got our prayers, we've got our scripture, we've got our confession, we've got our attitudes that, you know, there's always stuff that we can adjust. There's always stuff that the Lord's working on in us. Amen. Okay? I know every day the Lord's jamming me up about something, and it's like, okay, God, a little correction there. All right, God, oh, you don't like, okay, let's do this, you know? And so we're always constantly adjusting. We're rearranging our lives. We're reordering our lives. We're reprioritizing back to the things of God, getting in realignment, if you will, with the things of God. So I understand that. You know, no one's perfect yet. We're waiting for that day that we get to go be with Jesus and get a new body. But see, there are times where you say, you know what, I've done everything, and yet I still am in the same situation. Still am waiting on the promise. Still am believing God for something. What do I do then? What to do when things don't change? A couple of quick, easy things to do when things don't change. Even though you're doing it all right, even though you've got everything in line and in order, you having done all, and now you're standing there waiting for God, what do you do when things don't change? Here is what you do. First thing is this, stay faithful. Stay faithful. See, there's a propensity in us, you know, I guess you could call it the sin nature, that it's easy to backslide when things don't change. It's easy to give up on it and say, okay, God, I guess that's not your will. And so it's almost like we get mad and therefore we're going to go break something just to, you know, out of spite or something. I don't know. You know, like a little kid that gets mad and he's going to go slam a door just to let you know he's mad. You know? And so the very first thing I got to tell you is if things aren't changing, stay faithful, church. Stay standing. Don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to the flesh just because you're disappointed right now. Stay faithful. Stay in there with God because God is staying in there with you. You know, the Bible tells us that he's compassionate and kind. I can't tell you how many scriptures I read there. I wish I could read them all to you tonight. How many times I read that the Lord is patient and long-suffering. God is hanging in there with us. You're not alone in that stance. If you've got everything there, if you're standing, you're standing on the rock. His name is Jesus Christ. God's with you. He's holding on to you. And even though it may seem like he's silent or he's distant or he's far away or maybe he'd forgotten about his promise, listen, he's right there with you. So stay faithful. Stay faithful to God. Had you turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, there's an interesting couple of scriptures I want to look at with you, okay? Now, Peter is writing, he starts to write to slaves, okay? And he starts to talk to the slaves about how they should live their lives when it comes to their masters. Now, a saved slave, if he had an unsaved master, he probably could have overlooked some stuff. But you'll find examples in the Bible of saved masters that had saved slaves, and yet the Bible tells them, if that's the condition you were in when you got saved, stay in that condition. Now, that trips out the American mind because we've experienced things in our nation and we're so opposed to slavery and we've seen horrific things in recent years, you know, sex trafficking and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, when we read scriptures like this, it's almost shocking to us that God would tell someone to be obedient to a master. And yet that's the very thing God tells them to do. In other words, you're a slave, you're in a position you don't like, yet just stay faithful in that position. me show it to you in the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. He says, even if your masters are harsh, verse number 19, for this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now that is so opposed to everything that we know as Americans, right? All you have to do is flip on the news or read a blog or something like that. Somebody did something. Somebody wronged me. I'm going to tell the world. This is an outrage, right? And yet, here in the Bible, it says that if you endure that hardship, even if they are wrong, this is commendable. What does that mean? That means that you are going to get a commendation. God is going to speak well of you. If one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. See, things may have needed to change. You may have been waiting on God, waiting on the promise. And during that waiting, you may have been wrongfully used and abused. And yet God says, if you endure that, that's commendable in the sight of God. Why? Because your heart is linked up to the Lord. That God, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to stay faithful through it because of you. Look at the next verse. Very interesting. Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? So in other words, if you mess up and then you take a beating and you endure it, what commendation is there? What good is that? You know, that you deserve that whipping, right? So, you know, if you're waiting on God and you start getting off into sin and all of a sudden you're going into now discipline or you're going into reaping what you have sown, then that's no credit to you. But look at the rest of the verse. But when you do good and suffer, is that what that says in your Bible? See, this is so contrary to the ways of our society. We think, no, you do good and you get good. No, when you do good and suffer. All throughout the Bible, the Apostle Paul is telling people about eternal life and they beat the snot out of them. Drag them out of the city. Start riots. Stone them to death. I mean, this guy's shipwrecked. He's snake bit. He does good and he suffers. See, when you do good and you suffer, if you take it, I can't even bring myself to say the word. Can you say it with me? 1, 2, 3. Patiently. Oh, we hate that word, don't we? We have a microwave society. 30 seconds or less or your meal is free. Instant downloads, video on demand. I demand my video right now. One push of a button and poof, there it is. My goodness. No. If you take it patiently, this is commendable for God. Not bawling, squalling, crying. Oh, no, my God, I'm doing what I'm going to do. I'm doing good and I'm suffering, God. Yeah. You know, the road that Jesus walked is marked with suffering. There's blood all over it. And if you're going to walk that road, you're going to drop some blood on the way. Come on, somebody, hello. So you're tough enough. You can take it. Stay faithful, church. That's what this is all about. I think the best example I found was Jacob. You remember Jacob? Turn me to Genesis. I love Jacob. Jacob chapter 31, okay? Jacob, he travels, he's running away. Goes to his uncle, Laban, okay? Falls in love. He works 7 years for the woman that he loves. Ends up getting tricked and gets her sister instead. Whew. Works 7 more years. Finally, he's with the one that he loves. Then he works another 6 years. So 20 years this guy's been working. This guy's been waiting. He's been waiting for change, and yet he's still in the same spot getting used and abused. Genesis chapter 31, you there? Okay, he finally meets up with his uncle, right? He's left in the middle of the night. They took off, and it would have been all right, except that one of Jacob's wives stole the household images, the graven images, the gods, right? So Laban comes out after him. He's searching for him. His daughter tricks him, says, I can't get up, you know. There's a female thing going on right now. So he says, okay, see you later. You know, I'm getting out of this tent. And so now Jacob just has had enough. And he just breaks out against his uncle, starts yelling at him. I can just picture veins popping out of his neck. He's in his face, okay? And look at what it says, Genesis chapter 31, verse 38 through verse 42. Genesis chapter 31, starting in verse number 38, Jacob says this, "These 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I've not eaten the rams of your flock." In other words, I didn't steal anything from you. I took care of you. Verse 39, "That which was torn by beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether it was stolen by day or stolen by night. You misused me. You abused me. I could have taken from you, and yet I chose not to." Verse 40, "There I was. In the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." You know what? If I was working like that for years, I finally would have said, "Is this woman worth it? Not sleeping at night? Now, honey, you're worth it." Aw. But look at what he says. Verse 41, "Thus I have been in your house 20 years." You want to talk about faithfulness? You want to talk about suffering when he was doing good? Here's the man right here. "I served you 14 years for your $2 and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Verse 42, "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed." Look at what he says. "God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." God showed up to Laban in a dream, told him, "You're wrong. Don't say anything." God said, "Don't you say anything to him, good or bad." And Jacob found out about it. He said, "That's why God rebuked you last night, is because I'm right." Finally had enough, finally had it out with his uncle. His uncle makes a covenant with him, and they depart in peace. See, God is watching 20 years. 20 years. 20 years. He stayed faithful. See, if you're still waiting, if you're waiting for things to change, and there are change in church, stay faithful. God is watching, and God will deal with your life justly. Second thing, not only stay faithful, how about this? Stay committed. Stay committed. It's easy to give up on the promises. We get discouraged and we say, we may not go into sin, but we might just give up. I guess, this healing thing, I guess it's just not for me. I guess maybe God wants to heal everybody else but me, We get this woe is me kind of pity party attitude, looking around for people who feel the same way. Oh, God didn't heal you either. We're the only two people. We should start an act and travel the country and people can look at us, charge money. Only people that God walked out on. And we give up. It's easy to get discouraged. Easy to say, I see that. I believe that. Yet it's just lip service because in our hearts, I don't believe it. It didn't happen to me. Maybe it won't happen for someone else. Why try? Why pray? Why read? Why go out? Why go to church? Why talk to anybody about it? Why even try? And yet, God says, if you're still waiting, stay committed. Stay consistent. See, I love how Pastor Jim used to say this all the time. Commitment without consistency is no real commitment at all. You have to stay consistent. You're there in Genesis. Turn back this time to 2 Peter, okay? You remember where 1 Peter was? Turn to 2 Peter this time. Okay, one book back from where you were. And in 2 Peter, it's talking about scoffers coming in the last days, okay? And I want to use this illustration. Even though it's talking about the last days and the coming of the Lord, I want to show you something that's an example for us in our lives if we're waiting on the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 3. Right towards the end of your Bible, if you hit Revelation or the maps, turn around and come back. Second Peter chapter 3 says that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their lust, verse 4, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Maybe you've had this. You've been believing God, been waiting for breakthrough, told somebody about it, and a year went by. Next year came around, you said, "Hey, I'm still waiting. Still believing God." Then another year went by. Then they asked you about it. "Hey, remember you told me about this last year? Did that ever happen? Did God ever come through?" "No, I'm still waiting." Year later, still waiting. Year later, they ask you again. And scoffers come and they say, "Where is the promise?"
Is this even real? Do you know what you're believing? Do you know that there really is a God? Do you know that there really is a promise? Does God even care about you? And look at what it says. For since the fathers fell asleep, that means since the ancients died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, they're saying nothing's changed and nothing's going to change. It's really what they're inferring in that statement. Now drop down into verse number 9. Verse number 9 says this. Look at this. The Lord is not slack. Some translations say it this way. Slow concerning his promise. As some count slackness or slowness. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, anybody who thinks that God wants to send people to hell, that verse right there just tells you, no, he doesn't. God's waiting for everybody to have the opportunity to get in. God wants as many people in heaven. God wants to plunder hell. God does not delight in the death of people who are going to hell. That's not a pleasure to God. God wants people in heaven. God loves people. And so he's waiting patiently. And yes, time is going on and things are continuing and we're going through struggles and trials. And yes, worldwide there's pain and there's anguish. Why is that? Because God is waiting. God is waiting. Just because God is waiting doesn't mean that God's not doing anything. God is empowering his church to go out and preach the gospel message. Now, that applies to the day of the Lord. That applies to salvation. That applies to the plan of the ages for God. But did you know that also, if you take that same thought, that also applies to us in our situations? What promise are you believing God for? Even though things may continue on the way that they were since the time before you started believing God, God is not slow concerning his promise, as some consider slowness. See, God may not be in your time. He may not come in my time. But can I tell you this? God always comes on time. He's always on time. Think about Jesus, born under the law, born of a virgin, in the fullness of time. Right? God who declares the end from the beginning, the one who is over time, right? Otherwise, time would be a greater force than God. God would have to be submitted to it. God will not submit himself to any. God is the Alpha. He is the first. He is the Omega. He is the last. God is the beginning and the end. He is the I am. He always was. He always will be. He is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. Therefore, God knows the plan of the ages. God also knows every promise that he has spoken to you and to me. And God knows exactly how, exactly where, and exactly when your destiny and that answer to your prayer and that thing that you're believing for, he knows where it's going to come. He knows when it's going to come. And he's waiting for the fullness of time to unleash that promise. Can I tell you something? There is a day that you're going to wake up and the promise will come. But you've got to wait. You got to stay faithful and you got to stay committed. Stay committed. Stay in their church. Stay after it. Just like an enlisted soldier. Think about somebody who is enlisted in the army for life. You know what the Apostle Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, look up at it on the overheads with me. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, we signed up for life. God says you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now think about a soldier who's got orders. I want you to go and I want you to take a post up on the top of that hill and wait there until I come. Soldier goes up on the top of the hill and they're posted there. Years, years, years go by. They're posted. They're doing their job. They're standing watch or standing guard. Now after a while they could say, well, you know what? I don't even know where my commanding officer is. I don't even know what happened. I don't know where they've gone. Maybe the war's over and no one told me about it. Maybe I should go check. And yet, if they are a good soldier, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sit there on that hill until they hear otherwise. Why? Because that's how they've been trained. And for us, we need to realize that our commanding officer, the captain of our salvation, Jesus, is calling us to endure. He's saying, I want you to stay in there. I want you to stay there when you don't understand. I want you to stay there when you've prayed and you haven't heard yet. I want you to stay there when you believe me and yet your faith is out there and you're out on a limb. You don't know how you're going to make it. I want you to stay there. Stay faithful and stay committed. You're still a soldier in my army. Man your post. Just like the Red Sox waiting 87 years to break the curse of the Great Bambino. Some of you guys remember that? My goodness, those guys were committed. Jeez, while the Yankees won 37 titles while they're waiting, right? You know, that could be like us. We could be waiting saying, how come everybody else is winning the World Series? How come everybody else is celebrating? Where's our victory? And yet, I'm here to tell you, 2004 is coming your way someday. You're going to have a time where you're going to win. You're going to have a time where you're going to break through. There's going to be a day where they're waving your flag and they're waving your banner. Why? Because God knows the times and the seasons. He's got your address. He's got your number. He likes you on Facebook. He's following you on Twitter. He knows how to get a hold of you. You say, God's following me on Twitter? Not really. Last one for tonight. I like this one. This is a good one. Stay up. Say, what does that mean? Stay in faith. Stay positive. Put a smile on your face. Stay up. Stay in the spirit. Listen, if we were to say, okay, where is God, right? Let's say we had a map of the entirety of the universe, right? We had the omniverse. We had the everything verse, right? We had all the dimensions, all that kind of stuff. God, if you look in the Bible, is in the heavens. If we were to say, where is the heavens, right? Which way would we point? Hopefully up, right? Now, if we were to say hell, bad, where is that? Down. So I'm telling you to stay up, right? Why? You need to have your focus. Set your minds on things above where Christ is seated. Colossians, the 3rd chapter says. Set your hearts on things above. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We need to stay up. We need to keep, you know the electrical switch, right? When it's dark, the light is off. Which way is that? Down. Down is dark, right? But if you want to shine some light in the room, what do you got to do? You got to flip that light switch. See, we need to keep the faith switch up. We need to keep the light on. We need to let people know that there is somebody home and that the man upstairs is doing his thing. He's working on it. And guess what? My faith is on. I'm staying up. I'm happy. I'm excited. It may be today. And then when it doesn't come today, are you discouraged? Oh, no, because that just means that God's given me another day because the promise is coming. Because my God is faithful. He will not go back on his promise. God's going to take care of me. Well, you just wait and watch and see. And even if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, that means God's got something greater for me in heaven. See, we're staying up. Oh, I love it. I love it. T. Coley said this, sometimes the ship that is longest on its voyage brings home the richest freight. If the promise tarries, wait for it. A promise long waited for is very precious in its fulfillment. I love that first sentence. Sometimes the ship that is longest on its voyage brings home the richest freight. If you've been waiting a long time, oh my goodness, wait a little longer. Just watch. God is going to bring something great in your lifetime. Psalm chapter 27, turn there with me. Great couple of verses. Psalm chapter number 27. Last verse for tonight, Psalm chapter 27. Look at what it says. And last two verses in Psalm 27. So if you want to find Psalm 28 and back up two verses, you can do that too. Look at what it says in verse number 13. I love this. I love how it opens up. Psalm chapter 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart. See, there's something going on in this psalmist's life. Something happened in David's life. And he says, I would have lost heart. See, it's very easy for us to drift away from God. Very easy for us to get off the promises. Very easy for us to go down instead of up. But look at what he says, unless. Oh, thank God there's an unless in the Bible, right? I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Unless I had faith and I believed God, I would have lost heart. I would be down instead of up. Unless I had believed. What did he believe? Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. God is going to take care of me in this life and in the life to come. I don't have to worry about that. I know about that. But guess what? I'm still in a flesh suit right now. I'm still working out my salvation with fear and trembling right now. There's still things going on that I don't understand right now. I know in part and I see in part. But guess what? I believe something. I've got my faith out there on God for something. I believe not just anything. I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse number 14, take a look at what it says. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, come on, church. If you've been waiting on God for something, take courage. Strengthen your heart in the things of God. Believe God. If you've gotten off of God, if you've gotten so mad at God that you walked away and you got in sin over it and you slammed the door just to let God know that you're angry, it's time to turn around and come back and say sorry and repent and get back on the promises of God. Take courage. If you've gotten discouraged and you just have said, oh man, my goodness, I don't know if God's really going to do this. I don't know if God's in this. It's time to get back to your post. Stand your guard. Stand your watch. Wait on the Lord. Don't go down, but keep your faith up. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God is going to do greater things than you could ask or even think. This afternoon, we had a prayer meeting here at the church. We pray every Wednesday. Oh, it's a great time when we come together as a staff and we pray. Our youth pastor, Pastor Richard Villanueva, the greatest youth pastor on the planet, stood right here. And he was sharing a testimony, and we were praying for the seats. Maybe you guys didn't know this. Sometimes we'll just walk and we'll touch those seats as just a symbol that we're touching hearts, touching lives, praying for you. We prayed for you sitting in that seat tonight. We ask that God would touch your life, and ask that you would hear the voice of God, ask that God would bless you and prosper you, ask that God would do great and mighty wonderful things in your marriage, in your family, your children, that God would provide jobs for you, that God would look after you and protect you wherever you go. We pray that, and we touch the seats. But before we did, Pastor Richard gave us an encouragement, and he said, you guys, you know what? I know oftentimes we'll walk out, and we'll touch these seats, and we'll pray for seats. But today, I don't want you to pray for seats, just like we always pray for seats. That's good, but today I want you to make it personal. And he says, for 15 years, I prayed for my dad to give his heart to the Lord. He says, 5 years ago, if you had told me that my dad would be saved and on fire for the Lord, I would not have believed you. I would not have believed you. He says, but this afternoon, I sat at lunch with him. And there across the lunch table, he told me, son, the two most important things in my life are my faith, Jesus Christ, my Lord. For all of us, there's something that we're waiting on God for. Something that's important to you. That you're saying, God, I see the promise. God, I know you want me to have it. I see it here in your word. God, I'm believing. I'm waiting, God. I'm waiting. How long are you willing to wait? Can I submit a time period that you should wait for God to come through on his promise? Until. Just simply wait on God, because the day that you give up, how do you know that it wouldn't have been the next day that God came through? See, wait on God until. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Takes courage, takes faith. It's tough, it's hard. You might get used and abused along the way and wonder what God is doing, but stay in there. What did we learn today? What do we do when things don't change? Number one, stay faithful. Stay faithful, church. Stay after the things of God. Number two, stay committed. You have been enlisted as a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have orders to stand in your spot. And finally, what did we learn? Stay up. Keep the faith switch on. Keep the joy in your heart. Keep that hope and that faith alive on the inside, and let's believe God for great things. Did you guys get something from the word tonight? Come on, let's give God a great big praise tonight. Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.